Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in.
Having a bet on the footy this week? Top this. Top Sport have hundreds of markets to choose from across the AFL, NRL and rugby. So whether you're into the big goals or the big hits, there's something for everyone. And Top Sport will let you on for plenty. Top that. Download the app today and bet on your game your way. If you want to get the top odds every time, bet with Top Sport. Visit topsport.com.au. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Gamble responsibly.
Legends and legendettes, welcome back. If you're joining up to Top Sport, hey, make sure you use the promo code UNFILTERED, 100%. They'll treat you better than Nathan Cleary at a Penrith nightclub. That's my promise. Another massive week in footy. Never a dull day, is there? Always breaking stories, always plenty of staff writer bullshit on the clickbait pages. Just ignore it. Don't buy into it, guys. That's what they want. There's been news, good stuff, bad stuff, and my tips are still the complete shits. But you can forget about it all and have fun with your footy because this is the Rugby League Superpod. You've been warned. May 19, 2022. It was debut day for our guest on the Rugby League Superpod, Ezra Mam. What stands out from this awesome day against the Knights, mate?
I don't know. Probably just, the lead up to the game, how fast it was. Obviously it was a very fast change from being a reserve, just sitting on the bench to playing. So. Within the space of, an hour or two, I found out that I was a player. So it was pretty good, in the lead-up. Wasn't really the best lead-up for Reno, but, he obviously had to pull out and sort of gave me my dream. So, thank him for that and, getting my career started.
Hey, how did you find out? Who told you and how did they tell you?
Reno actually told me because he was battling with a rib or a groin injury, and I think it was like a groin injury, and then we had to go do a fitness run. He had to go do a fitness run, and I had to do one as well because I had a massive cork on my quad as well.
Wow!
So we're both doing fitness tests, and he sort of pulled up halfway through a drill and just come shook my hand. So. I was like, I could sort of feel that he was like, wasn't pushing through the drill, but, obviously when he came and shook my hand, I got a bit, shocked for words. I had no words to say and, sort of just caught on to me from there.
Super cool story. Games 2, 3, and 4, you got tries. What do you remember about your first NRL try? I think it was against the Titans.
Yeah, the Titans, one thing that stood out for that was probably Herbie's pass off the ground. He was like mid like halfway down to the ground and obviously passed it. Just popped it up, which I don't know how he did because his body was in a awkward position. But he obviously passed to me, and something else that stood out was I had Big Tino chasing me, so I didn't want to get tackled by him. So. obviously just wanted to run away from him and, try not to get body slammed by the big fella.
Terrific first year, really memorable one, mate. 13 games, you showed a heap. Thanks for looking back with us.
Cheers, thank you.
Here's a tip for you, one of the most underrated players in recent memory that I've seen, certainly. One of the toughest two was Canberra legend Jason Croker. He's the uncle of current Seagulls star Lachlan. You wouldn't remember any of his footy, mate, but what have you heard and seen?
Mate, I think the one game I remember of watching him live
was his last game in Canberra. Dad took me over, and I remember watching the game and watching after the game and how many people were there and how sad everyone was that this was the end. And seeing the old man and how proud he was and the rest of the family. And that was it. I can vividly remember it, but I remember it being a really special day and a really emotional day. And I'm, other than that, my old man used to, with the VCRs, used to film every game. So Dad's cupboard at home, obviously Tuss played 300 games, so Dad's cupboard had bloody 300 VCR tapes that I don't know if they'll ever rewatch, but I'd love to know where they are now, actually. So I remember Dad was his biggest fan and loved watching him play footy. And I just remember laying in front of the lounge, like going to sleep at night and listening to your voice put me to sleep while Toots was running around out on the field. So they're really special days and memories for me of being able to look back on those times that, you know, our family and my dad and his brothers got to live that life through Toots. And that's sort of probably what I'm most proud about now, is being able to live the way that we live playing footy and share my experiences with my brothers and my mum and dad. And that was probably the biggest thing I took away from watching Toots play. And then obviously he shot over to France and lived over there for a while and came back with a few French swear words. And yeah, here we are.
Mate, if we're being honest, he was also part crazy too. And I say that lovingly. Is it a family trait?
Not as much as that, no. Me personally and my brothers personally, no, but I'd say his brothers and obviously my old man and that sort of group they got around in, I would say yes. I've heard many stories that probably aren't suitable for this type of conversation, and from a lot of people I've spoken to, and someone's got a different story every time I speak to them. And if somehow I finished footy and people were talking about me the same way they spoke about him or in the same sentence, that's all you can really hope for, you know. Just make it the friends out of footy and having those sort of stories is the reason that we play footy. So I'm sure we'd be very proud of that.
Cool little look back at the extended Croker family. It is time on the Rugby League Superpod for Clarkie's Call. Dane from Clarkie's RL column all over social media, the social media leaders of Rugby League, has joined us. He makes a call each and every week and we discuss your opinions, the good, the bad and the ugly. Clarkie, what's your call this week, legend?
G'day, Andy and listeners. This week we're looking at the player interchange. I've said the NRL need to extend the way teams are able to utilise their interchanges. Put simply, injuries are becoming far too common. Now, I could have expanded on that for paragraphs, so I chose to keep it very brief. And that was my opinion. But the stats do say that already this year, Andy, there's been 48 head injuries, of which 22 have failed. Now, in the whole last year, only 79 failed. So we're already past one quarter of that, and we're three rounds in. And you just look at teams, as soon as a middle forward goes down on the bench, straight away, it's dire straits, and they're looking to recover from there. My viewpoint is that the NRL might need to take a look at this.
And the NRL are taking a look at it, looking at expanding the number of contracted players in the top squad from 30 up to 36, 38. Some wonderful responses, some really well thought out responses. Richard Lucker on Facebook says, increase speed, tackle technique, the wrestle, ruck speed, training techniques, the list goes on. What can we do? Nothing. The rules were changed to speed up the game, favouring the smaller men and introduce more fatigue to the game. Why do you think body composition has changed so much? When you see a bloke like Ruben Cotter playing front row, you know the game has changed. Ricardo Robb says Jazz Tavanga is another great example. Yeah, we've let the game get this fast. We've pushed for the game to get this fast. These are the consequences.
Yeah, and that's it. No matter what the NRL does, it's kind of that push-pull effect where it can never be all positives. There are going to be some drawbacks and cons. Really mixed results. I've got username 2KK11 on Instagram, and he says, I think a six-man bench with the 18th man being available due to any loss of a player, whether that be concussion or a blatant careless high tackle, etc., should result in that player being able to be used immediately. And I think I agree with that, Andy. I mean, of course there's going to be cons, but I think as fans, if there are larger benches that are able to be used in more versatile ways, it should continue to keep the speed of the game there, remove a little bit of fatigue, have fresher players, which could make for a more entertaining product for the fans.
Also potentially increases the length of the full speed collision. These two are your top fans, and you know I've got all the respect in the world for the top fan badges on Clarkie's RL column. Paul Smith says, no changes. The heat has been causing a lot of the fatigue. See what happens when the temperature drops. That's a good look at it, a different look. Chris Roberts says, not much of a pre-season this year for a lot of teams coming off the World Cup. Perhaps that's playing a role in injuries, also playing in the warmer weather, adding to more fatigue. That also helps.
Yeah, I certainly think the shorter preseason could be a big factor. And I like your note there that, you know, maybe if we do extend the benches, we actually increase injuries because people are fresher and therefore the contact remains at a longer stage of the game. One comment that I do love is Jordan Tawano. He says, having six on the bench is a mint idea, but fatigue towards the end is part of the game. And I do acknowledge that, you know, if we do make these huge fundamental shifts, maybe we get away from the fast-paced nature that we love that is rugby league. And unfortunately, we could creep closer to rugby union, which we want to avoid at all costs. No offense, rugby fans.
A lot seemed to echo Alan Redgen's comments. The game has been made too fast. If they wanted entertaining footy, all they had to do was reduce the interchange. So again, a really different look of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we could go on all day here. This is a very interesting comment section where fans are completely split. There's no consistency here, whether it's a yes or no. And that's the beauty of a discussion like this. There's so many ways the NRL could take this. And I've certainly enjoyed seeing all the fans' reaction to this one.
I'm going to leave you with this one, legends, as we bid Clarkie farewell on the Rugby League Super Pod. Shane Fox. Maybe he's saying something we all agree with, but maybe we've forgotten. They should reward leg tackles. Every week on the Super Pod, we promote and feature a Facebook supporter page. This week, it's the mighty Brisbane Broncos. And the question for the legion of fans there is, if you can bring back one Bronco from the 80s and one from the 90s and slot them into this 2023 side, who do you select and why? Nige Kaz said Lockie and Thorn, Broncos forever. Robbie Billy McLaughlin said Scotty Minto because he's the people's immortal, also known to be tackled by blades of grass. Robbie also said Slam and Sammy Bacco because of his glorious mustache and his try-scoring ability close to the line. Also, he scored 6 tries from 13 games for Queensland and Australia. Ter Raw said King Wally is the one. And there was also a vote for Alfie and Lazo. Broncos forever, 88. The Dream Team episodes are next level. You can listen to them anytime because they don't date. And I reckon you disagree with all of them. It's the ultimate argument starter. Who's in your dream team? You can pick any player from any era, any team, and then combine them. You're the coach. Here's a couple of positional choices from some of the game's best. Let's start with my man, Blake Green.
Yeah, front row is one player that I love watching, current player at the moment, Joe Tarpany. So down at the Raiders, he is just an absolute handful defensively. Players just struggle, but he's so good on his feet, such a big lad. It's a weird one. You look at Canberra and almost their forward pack sort of the focal point of their attack. They just sort of roll down the middle and generate some offloads and all of a sudden, boom, you know, they open the game up for their team. There's not many teams that have that. They've been like that for a while,
Canberra.
They seem to rotate these big humans through there that have got some really good, you know, subtleties with the footy, some good offloads, some little close short passes. So, he's one of my favourites, mate.
Okay, what about on the other side of the scrum?
Yeah, the other one's a biased one. Jesse Bromwich, so played a little bit with Jesse in Melbourne. And when I first got there, Jesse would play majority games for us in the 70-minute range. Played huge minutes, would make massive meters. Although, like, statistically, he was rating sort of off the charts for a front rower, but just so many times we needed someone to play big minutes that day if someone got injured, or, you know, we needed him to hold it down because he was the best at it for us. And he just got the job done, didn't complain. I think he got player of the year both years I was there. He was, he was a special one for that footy club. So it would be so different seeing him in a different jersey next season.
What about the hooker, mate? Do I need to ask?
No, you don't, mate. He's the best. Yeah. He is the best by a mile. Cameron Smith, mate. Very clever. Terrific fella. Again, loves having a beer after a game, really relaxed. It was so interesting, you know, the contrast in styles of players that, Cam, Billy and Cooper were, you know. Cameron was just so calm, composed. I know everyone can see that, you know, visually you can see that, but he actually was. He had a little routine that he would do, and if we got scored against, everyone would natural reaction is, you know, blowing up and talking, spraying. He would just walk into the center of the circle, grab a towel off the physio, just pat himself down. Everyone would sort of start to stop talking.
Yeah.
And then he would just talk, you know, just calmly. He would say, oh, you know, boys probably deserve that one if we're honest here. You know, we've been really poor at this.
Wow.
He would talk calmly. The funny ones is when he got angry. I used to hang out a fair bit with him and his family socially. Yeah. So I used to like it when I found it funny when he got angry. He would talk the same way that he used to talk to his boy Jasper when he got angry.
Yeah.
He'd talk through his teeth, Jasper. So he'd talk to the team like that. And it used to crack me up. But
I love it.
But he was a terrific leader. Obviously, skills-wise, the way he could control the tempos of games, he just knew. He knew. He was a, you know, a puppet master with all that sort of stuff. He could teach people where to be on the field without, you know, overanalyzing it or being too technical or too tactical.
Yep.
I know I had a really simple role down there, mate. I used to play on the left-hand side of the field. We used to play split halves.
Yep.
I used to play on the left-hand side of the field, and he would say to me, hey, Greeny, just stand on the scrum line, and when you want the ball, just stick your left hand out, and I'll hit you. And I was like, that can't
no calling, no anything.
I'd call for the ball, but I'd stick my left hand out. He would just fizz the ball to me left hand so I wouldn't break stride. Boom, straight into it. So, look, I'd stand there and wait for teams to split their numbers.
Yep.
And if they put four people on my side, I'd just say super. He would just fizz it straight to me. I never copped a bad pass from him. And he made the game. He made the game every week for 2 years straight. And it never got old. It was such a basic game. And he would do the same thing every week. Although, you know, watching at home, you'd see him do so many fantastic things. But he had the same. He'd do the same thing every week. But he would just have a couple of different options that he would pull the trigger on based on what the team was doing. You know, he was just so intelligent, so calm.
Next up, it's the king. The fucking king has arrived on the pod again. Immortal time. It's Wally Lewis.
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't tell me you were going to ask this one. Otherwise, I'd have been thinking about this for months. who is it? Is it Billy Slater? Is it Darren Lockyer?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll put Lockie in there at fullback.
Yep.
With the full intention of, I'll start Billy Slater there. With the intention of moving Lockie.
Who are your two wingers? Two best you've seen?
This might surprise a hell of a lot of people, but I'm going to go back to the two that were there in my debut. Kerry Boasted was there. Magnificent. His evasive skills, his speed was fantastic. He was probably one of the smallest wingers and still certainly was. He was quite remarkable. And another bloke who will probably stagger a lot of people to even hear his selection was Eric Groth.
Yeah.
Could run through a brick wall. He was one of the quietest fellows that I think I've ever seen.
Yep.
Didn't promote himself in an undue way. He was just simply as powerful a ball runner as I've ever seen carrying the football. And once again, I don't mean to be disrespectful. There's a 100 wingers which come along which could easily fit into that side. But in the side that I was playing in, I loved having them.
Kerry Boustead probably played at, I think, high 70 kilograms. Would that work in 2021, or has the game passed that frame by?
Yeah, pretty much. And I can understand, you know, you're asking that question because you need to have a little bit of size. The kicking game was a big part of my era, but it is nothing like it is currently. Yeah. It is every fifth tackle now, crossfield kick to the wingers. Let's try and buy another set of six. If one of them drops them, if we pick it up, we can be on the go. If it's down near the try line, 4 points are on offer. It's just a matter of who gets there first. So it plays an enormous role, and I'm sure that Eric and Bowie are damn glad that they played under the time where it was regarded as just hand the ball onto the wingers. Yeah. If they can beat the opposition winger, well and good.
Plenty of episodes of Dream Team with some of the biggest names in footy, some cracking lists and explanations as well. Check the back catalogue of episodes and rip in. You can listen to any of our podcast episodes or interviews at any time because none of them date ever. Let's go back to one of the early ones, the Little General, Stacey Jones. You played Lion Red Cup in 94, the domestic competition, as a young footballer. The Warriors arrived in New Zealand at the perfect time for a kid with a bit of talent, didn't they?
Yeah, it was perfect timing when I look back and the hype around the Warriors coming into the competition because, you know, that early 90s period, the game of rugby league took a massive boost in New Zealand. It started to it was more on TV. Sky Sport had just started and, you know, they had, you know, three or four games every weekend on TV, and it gave it a massive boost. And the hype around the Warriors coming into 95 just sort of really was a cream on the top for the game to take a real boost in this country.
April 23, 1995, you make your NRL debut. You came off the bench versus Para in a absolute flogging. I think you got them 40 points to 4. What do you recall of your debut?
It was back in the time when you only had two fresh reserves. I don't know if you remember that, Andy. Yeah, so I played reserve grade that day. Previous to all of those rounds, I'd sat on the bench for the first grade after playing reserve grade, and there was about eight or nine blokes that would sit on the bench. And I was fortunate enough to get a run that day. The team were up by a fair amount, and I came on the field, and I actually stole a try from Phil Blake. So, memories of that. I think I only played about 3 or 4 minutes, and then probably the one and only time I went to the blood bin in my whole career.
And another guy that's joined us previously on the podcast, premiership winner, the gorgeous Scott Sattler. Yes, I said gorgeous. You're born with a famous surname. Good, bad, help or hindrance for your early life as a footballer?
Yeah, well, it went through stages, actually. All the ones that you just mentioned there, they went through different stages in my life. In my very early rugby, I didn't start playing rugby league until I was 11 or 12, about 12 years of age on the Gold Coast. And very early on, it was a real hindrance because it wasn't the other players, the other kids. They didn't care. They didn't know who John Sattler was. And it was the parents. The parents were the ones that were always expecting a lot more of a 12 or 13-year-old kid. And then there were selectors in junior rep teams that expected more. And to me, it was a lot of pressure. I didn't realise my dad was something important until I was about 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah, he took me to the first State of Origin match in 1980. Well, I was 10.
Yep.
And I remember people kept stopping him and wanting to talk to him. And I remember going, and I remember seeing all his jerseys and all his scrapbooks ever as a kid, how I'd read them religiously. But to me, they were just like another novel or another book.
Yeah.
But then I realised that, hey, actually, people actually really gravitate towards this guy. Yep. So it was a real hindrance early on, up until I was about sort of 15 or 16. I remember my mum once, we were playing a game against Bean Lee. I was packing a scrum, I was hooker. I remember looking across at the halfback, waiting for him to feed the ball, and looking past the halfback and seeing my mum get attacked by these ladies of the local team, like this on the sideline.
Serious?
Yeah, well, the parents were abusing me because of my surname.
Yep.
And mum just said, hey, listen, can you just let the kids play? And they just turned on her. And I thought, it's not only a hindrance and a pressure on me, it's a pressure on my mum.
Yeah.
And so I thought about it about 15 or 16, just giving it up because I just thought, oh, I'll go and find something else to do. And then I finished year 12 at a school in – I went to boarding school for 3 years, and there was a huge expectation going to boarding schools. Even I was rugby union in Brisbane, Nudgee College. There was a huge, because of the last name, you just expected to be this is really good rugby union player, and I wasn't. I hated the game. I couldn't get used to it.
Yeah.
And I used to go home on Friday nights and play rugby league with my Runaway Bay Seagulls club. And then I got to 17. I went year 12 to a school on the Gold Coast called Coomera State High School. Yeah. It was only a very early age, a very early school. And we went through, we won everything. We won the state titles. We were about third or fourth in the country as a school. And I was fortunate enough to make some representative sides. And from that moment on, I felt as though the expectation was always still there.
Mm.
But I was old enough to use it as a sort of driving factor.
Any episode, any time, download the Lot of Them Legends. We've got you covered. Here's a short interview with Titans half Tanner Boyd from a previous episode. Are halfbacks truly the cheeky little bastards they're made out to be? The greatest sledges in the great game? Well, we're about to find out because we've got Tanner Boyd from the Gold Coast Titans in front of the microphone, and we have given him the perfect opportunity to absolutely give it to his teammates, but all in the name of fun. This is word association, Tanner. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say, who argues when it's his shout at the bar?
Who could I say? I reckon Tyrone Peachy's pretty good for that. He's always telling someone else to shout for him. And he's the big jokester at the club, to be honest. He loves mucking around and he doesn't take things too seriously. He's probably the main one.
Who's most likely to give you a prank call at 2 a.m. absolutely dribbling?
Oh, there's a few. Oh, last year was Jairo. He was good in our group chat last year. He can dribble, especially on a night. He's lots of fun. So, yeah, definitely Jairo.
Who never returns text messages and is impossible to get a hold of?
Nah, there's not too many, to be honest. Everyone's pretty good. I must admit, when there's things in the group chat or we're trying to chase something, they always reply. So the boys we're a pretty tight-knit group and everyone tries to help each other, which is good.
Who loves the cameras, especially when their shirts off, their gears off over summer?
I would like to say Sam Lasone. He loves, even though he hasn't got a good rig, he loves the camera. He's funny. He's a big jokester at the club, so I love Big Sammy. He's a lot of fun, and he's pretty impressive with his rig.
Okay, who has got the all-time best rig at the Titans?
Jamal Fogarty's got a pretty good rig.
Is I must that admit, right? Little halfback.
Yeah, so he's pretty ripped up, and he eats pretty clean, and he does everything right.
What about the most annoying and why?
Brian Kelly and Tyrone Peachy are pretty annoying. They're the two most annoying, and they're always just chirping and mucking around and always just, even before games, they're just still the same the whole time. So you need them in the team, that's for sure.
You're going to have a few more years of Brian Kelly. He's just signed on for a couple more with the club. It's a good signing, isn't it, because he's a beauty.
Yeah, he's a great player, Brian. Last year he had a pretty standout year, I thought. Yep. I thought he could have been in that Origin squad for sure. I thought he would have got a little call up or something like that. He's just so strong, naturally strong and skillful, and he's pretty hard to tackle. Going against him at training, he's hard to tackle, and he's just going to keep getting better. He's last year under Jim Dimmock, he learned so much in his defence, and he was so solid this year for us, and he's just going to be good.
Okay, keep going. We've just got to finish with this one. Out of the entire group of young, strong, confident athletes, who's got the worst dance moves?
The worst. I'm pretty bad. I'm bad, but I don't have much moves. I'm pretty stiff. I don't know. I haven't seen much of the boys dance, to be honest. Actually, Sam Stone. Sam Stone's bad dancer. I've seen him dance. He's pretty poor. So I'd say Big Sammy.
You've fired up the barbie. You've stacked the esky. Who do you invite and why? This is Dinner Date, Table for Eight. I don't care where you're listening. You should stand as one and cheer out loud, very loud. In fact, for our guest, he's onto the podcast for the very first time. It's Big Bad Bustlin' Barry Ward. How are you, legend?
Good, Andy. How are you, mate? Great to catch up again.
Yeah, it is, and it's been a long time, mate. We've enjoyed a beer and a game of golf and many laughs over the years. What are you up to with yourself these days?
Mate, at the moment I'm overseeing all the female and junior league at the Bulldogs, which is good. Challenging at times, but, you know, very passionate about it. It's full on program. Mate, we're doing everything we possibly can to bring the girls up and align with the boys. It doesn't matter if you're what gender you are at the Bulldogs, male or female. If you've got a Bulldogs jersey on, you're important to us and you're part of the family.
Knowing you like I know you, you'll either do something 100% or you don't do it at all. And the Bulldogs under Gus and Aaron are very much the same. I would imagine you guys are throwing absolutely everything into the female system.
Yeah, we are. Funny you mention that, because when I got offered the job and the opportunity, I sort of met with the board, John Currie, the chairman, and Gus, and that, and said, look, I'm interested in doing it, but if we do it, we're either all in, or, you know, or it's not going to happen. So so we're 100% in, mate. So the whole club's embraced it, engaged it, and it's the same passion as what we do that's been happening with the male program for many, many years. So, yep, we're into it 100%, mate.
It's on the rise, and it may have its detractors. I'm not one of them. I know you're not one of them. The female game is growing in every single direction, isn't it?
Oh, it is, mate. It's coming in big time, mate. It is. The numbers of the girls that are playing it now is growing rapidly. The NRL want it to work. I think it's good to watch. People like enjoying watching. I think it's a bit like old school footy. There's no wrestling it. Scrum's a scrum. There's no wrestling it. Play the balls. And the girls can really whack, you know. They've got some great technique, and their skills will evolve as the game goes. You know, the next generation will become even better than these, but we've got some talented girls running around in the competition, but it's only going to improve.
Last 12 months, mate, massive changes across the park at Belmore in playing staff alone, in off-field staff. Is there a good feel amongst the joint?
Oh, it is, mate. Yeah, it's really, really good, mate. It's there has been, you know, it felt like the changes have happened overnight, and they probably basically have, but the setup at the moment is good. The feel is really, really good. It doesn't mean you're going to win games on the field, but they're working, you know, really hard off it. I believe, you know, admin-wise, footy-wise, I think we've got the right mix now. I've been there a hell of a long time and seen some great dynasties there, and I really believe that this one's, you know, just around the corner. And the good thing about, you know, obviously everyone talks about what Gus does. He's unbelievable what he does at clubs. But, you know, we're looking to set up for sustainable success, mate. We don't want short-term success. We want sustainable success.
I know you know your way around a barbecue. You love it. Let's start with your current home setup, mate. And also, how do you go? How do you go on the barbecue?
Honestly, mate, I rate myself on a barbecue. I do it a lot out the back. I've got a setup out the back. But, I do it a lot, and I rate myself, mate. So, actually, I'm looking around at the moment for a new barbecue, mate. So Firebrand barbecues might become very important to me in the next couple of weeks for a new purchase. I don't know if you can get any discounts, mate, but if you can help me, that'd be good.
Firebrand Barbecue, Bobby and the team, A, they look after all of our listeners, but, gee, they'll look after our guests too. So we're going to organise something there. What's your go-to on the barbie, mate? If the Wards are eating outside, what are you looking at doing?
Oh, mate, I'm big on a slow baked ribeye.
Oh,
slow baked ribeye, mate. I do probably like the lobster tails with the garlic butter as well. I get the I've also got the garlic prawns and the mussels in the tomato sauce. I put them in the big pan on the barbie. So, mate, I get the Asian steamer, mate, steam the prawns with a bit of ginger and shallot and soy and that. So,
seafood on the barbie, absolutely underrated.
Oh, it is, mate. Heavily.
You're the chef. We know what we're having, and there's 8 seats at the table. It can be any person from any era, any profession, any industry. any time, any country, dead or alive. Who are we starting with and why, mate?
We're starting with Adele. She's, mate, I went and seen her in concert at ANZ Stadium, a core stadium now. Mate, I've always loved her music. She seems bubbly. She seems like you'd be able to get on with her. She'd be the life of the party. At that concert, actually, the hairs on the back of your neck stood up. I think it was bigger than the Olympics, you know, that event. But, yeah, I'd love to bring her around and she could entertain us on the night while we're singing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does seem like a very down-to-earth young lady and can also belt out some tunes towards the end of the night. So Adele is kicking us off. Let's keep going.
Walking through around the back to join our barbecue next is Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
So, mate, he's just a great actor. I love him. I can't – once I start a movie with him, I just can't stop. He's I just watch his movies over and over again, mate. So they're outstanding.
I reckon he'd be one of the boys.
Oh, for sure, mate. I think he would be too.
He certainly would be by the end of this night. Okay, Denzel Washington, who's next?
Next in the lineup, mate, we have one of our the famous Australians, Shane Warne.
Yeah.
Don't have to explain yourself there, mate. I could just picture him out the back drinking, and he wouldn't be eating baked beans that day, let me tell you. But he'd be on the darts having a beer for sure.
100%. Did you ever get to meet the great man in your travels?
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't. I didn't meet him, which was unfortunate. I met a few Australian cricketers in my time, but Warney won that I didn't meet.
Okay, Shane Warner's on the list. Not the first time we've had him, and for really good reason. What a storyteller and what a fella. Who's up next?
I'm sure if I did bump him, I wouldn't have got to Bendall Sunrise.
Correct. Just another excuse, Barry. You know that. There's always an excuse, and it's always someone else's fault.
Networking, Andy. Networking.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, mate. We continue.
Another famous actor, mate, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. How would you like Morgan Freeman narrating your life and your career? It'd be terrific.
Oh, absolutely, mate. He's got some. He seems very educated, doesn't he? Very smart man.
Yeah.
Seems very motivated. But he's good, and he's in my all-time favourite movie, mate. Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, all-time favourite movie, right there. Shawshank Redemption. Loved him in that. Also loved him, and I don't know if you've seen the movie Seven with Brad Pitt.
No, I haven't, but I'm going to go in and watch it after this podcast.
There you go. Okay, we're halfway through Adele, Denzel Washington, Shane Warne, Morgan Freeman. Who's at five?
Now, this will be a curly one, this one, mate. This would be interesting if they were here, but I'd have to step in between. But Liz Hurley.
Very, very interesting dynamic there. I'm a massive, I cannot tell you how much Liz Hurley fan on Instagram after all these years. I actually think it's getting to the spooky stage for poor Liz. What a sort, and you might have to sit in between her and Shane.
Yeah, I'll put him up either end of the table, but I've still got the visions when she walked up the ladder in Austin Powers, mate.
Yep, I know exactly where you're going, and it's going to get awfully uncomfortable if we continue this conversation. Liz Hurley, who's at six?
Famous man, Nelson Mandela.
What a terrific man.
Mate, I haven't done a lot of stuff on him, but, you know, what I have, you know, researched on him and done, and, mate, what he done actually for the country was unbelievable. What he went through, you know, against everything, he's, you know, I just think he'd be just a, you could just sit and listen to him for hours upon hours, days upon days, mate. I think what he's achieved in his life was unbelievable.
To have Morgan Freeman and Nelson Mandela at the same table, you have absolutely won me. I'll be sitting in a tree at the next door neighbour's place watching and listening to this one. Okay, two spots
left. Andy, I've been with you, mate. You'd be straight round. Don't worry about that.
Good man. Nine seats at this table. Okay, mate, number seven.
Tiger Woods.
Are you a golfer and what do you play off?
I'm a golfer. I play off nine. I like it. I don't get to play a lot now, but I love golf. It's a, you know, we go around with some mates. We go on some trips. We've been to Tassie and Melbourne and up Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast. So I really do like it. I've been over to New Zealand, played a few times. But, yeah, I love it. I just love him, mate. He's, to me, you got the Jack Nicklaus and all that, but Tiger Woods is sort of my era, mate. And what he's achieved is unbelievable. So he's someone that I just love watching. And he just, how he can do things, you know, how he turned the game on its head was unbelievable. He was just a class above everyone.
and he did turn the game on its head. I'm a couple of years older than you, Baz, but we've been really lucky to grow up in this era with guys like Tiger Woods, Roger Federer. We both remember Michael Jordan at his peak, absolute goats of their sport that unlike anything we'd ever seen before.
You're right, mate, yeah. And Michael Jordan was close, but Tiger pipped him. So, that unbelievable sports people, mate. Unbelievable how they just change sport on its head. Okay, they do things that people can't think they can do.
100%, and all of them have done it for such a long time. Okay, mate, we got one spot left. Who's that going to?
Now, mate, I like watching cooking shows, mate. You wouldn't believe it, as I said. So I like cooking, and I like watching cooking shows. So I didn't know if I needed a chef. So I've brought in Rick Stein,
mate. Now, smart thinking. It allows you to concentrate on the beverages.
Yes, it does. And Rick, I think you watch every episode of Rick. He's always got a Chardonnay or a Sauv Blanc in his hand or a beer. So I'd say that he can multitask, but I'm sure he'll be able to use the Firebrand barbecues, mate, and take him to the next level and feed us all while we're sitting down having a few bevvies.
The list is Adele, Denzel Washington, Shane Warne, Morgan Freeman, Liz Hurley, Nelson Mandela, Tiger Woods, and Chef Rick Stein. Want the ultimate unfiltered message for your mates? I'll say anything you want, ripping heads off and shitting down necks all day long. Find me on Swish at swish.com. Andy Raymond Unfiltered. You are listening to the Rugby League Superpod, and just like us fans, every player has a favourite game. It might be one they remember from their childhood, it might be one they watched, might be one they played in. Jack Murchie, which one is it for you, legend?
For me, it's the Warriors versus the Bulldogs at ANZ Stadium a couple of years back. I'm not sure the exact year, but we're wearing the Indigenous, the Warrior strip, the Maori strip.
Yeah.
Pretty cool design that year. So, yeah, I love that. And, yeah, I had a good game off the bench. Scored my first ever NRL try and my first ever career double in the same game.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a good win against the Bulldogs. So, yeah, that was definitely a memorable one for me and one that I'll never forget.
Having a bet on the footy this week? Top this. Top Sport have hundreds of markets to choose from across the AFL, NRL and rugby. So whether you're into the big goals or the big hits, there's something for everyone. And Top Sport will let you on for plenty. Top that. Download the app today and bet on your game your way. If you want to get the top odds every time, bet with Top Sport. Visit topsport.com.au. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Gamble responsibly.
And when you do join up, make sure you use the promo code UNFILTERED. You'll be treated like royalty. Joining us is the CEO of Top Sport, Tristan Merlihan. He joins us each and every week on the Rugby League Superpod. I think we can sum this up in one. They are coming for the Broncos and they are deserting the Eels. Are they the big moves you've seen, mate?
They certainly are. So the Broncos have easily been the best back side. They're into $8.50. Equal third pick now to win the comp. The other team they're coming for is Manly. Manly has gone $21 into $12 since the start of the season. I think there's going to be a bit of a litmus test here this weekend against the Bunnies. Yep. I think whoever wins that game is going to firm up quite significantly. And, yeah, the poor old Eels, they're out to $31 after starting the season. They started the season at $11, so they've tripled in price. Dolphins, they're into $34 to win the comp as well. So plenty of movers and shakers in this market. It's been a really, really interesting start to the season. And, looking forward to seeing what happens this weekend.
Tristan, Top Sport prides themselves on same-game multis. And the price, the markets, it's working in our favour. And when I say our, the investor, the punter, the player's favour. What are you seeing in the same games? Is it result into try scorers that's the most popular?
Certainly is, and I think what we saw on the weekend, which played into the punters' favour, was so many points. Obviously, the really hot weather that had a massive impact on the defence and the ability to be able to defend for long periods. And we saw a lot of high-scoring games on the back of that, which also results in a lot more try scorers. So we did have some punters get some sizable multis on the back of throwing in a multitude of different players, and then obviously the win line totals markets as well. So, yeah, make sure you check out our same game multi. All I say is have a look at ours, have a look at wherever else you might be betting at the moment, and just bet where you get the best price, and I'll be very confident you're going to get that with us more often than not.
I fully agree there, mate. Total points per game, are we seeing a rise in the average number weekly?
We've seen a little tick up this week. The weather, it's a tricky one from our end, trying to work out. We don't want to overreact because the first couple of weeks there was a couple of low-scoring games, which I think is always the way early in the season. Then obviously that really, really hot weather around the nation last week, and we're probably not expecting it to be as bad this weekend in certainly a few different areas. So we don't want to close the stable gate after the horse is bolted, but by the same token, we have to respect what happened last weekend as well. So there has been a little bit of an uptick.
We talk about state of origin 3 months out. We talk about who is going to be a smoky, what the sides are going to look like, and we're often disappointed when it comes around because it's the same old faces. Already the origin markets are up. They've been up since basically full time of 2022. New South Wales at $1.60. Queensland at $2.30 for you Queenslanders that fancy another upset. Have we seen any significant changes here?
No, it's been very, very solid since we opened it. There has been a little move towards New South Wales. They were a high of $1.65. They're into $1.60 now, but been pretty, pretty solid. I think as we get closer, we're going to have a bit more of an idea on which players are selected. Obviously, injuries are key to those markets as well. So at the moment, New South Wales, slight favourites, but as we know, anything can happen as it gets closer to the series.
Top Sport donates a $100 free bet each and every week to Unfiltered, and the beneficiary is the charity, the Ricky Stewart Foundation. We do have a kitty, but we've also had me in control, and that has just led to disaster in the opening couple of weeks. So I've very simply handed the reins to you, boss. What do you like and what are we going with?
I'm pretty confident this week. I think we're going to get a result this weekend. We got a balance of 1,595 in the kitty, so we're going to look to add to that this weekend. As much as I hate saying this, I feel like I'm booing Santa Claus. I have a feeling Brisbane are going to put a number on the Dolphins on Friday night. I'm going to take the Broncos minus 12. Obviously, the loss of Kafusi is going to be impactful.
Yep.
I think Manly are going to demonstrate they're genuine premiership contenders whenever Turbo's on the field. I'm going to take Manly plus 4.5. And I think the Knights, they're going to really battle this weekend with still a lot of players out. I'm going to take Canberra minus 6.5. So we're going to have a treble. We're going to go the Bronx minus 12, Manly plus 4.5, Canberra minus 6.5, 100 on that at 7.04. And I think we might be getting the chockies.
Topsport.com.au is where the action is at. Even better, download the app and take a look. As Tristan said earlier, he's the CEO and he was not trying to sell you blindly into something. He said compare the prices, and he's confident that when you do compare the prices, Top Sport is going to be the place to be. Always a pleasure, legend. Let's cheer on our free bet. Enjoy the footy this weekend, and we'll do it all again next week on the Rugby League Super Pod. This is the part of the podcast where we've put you in charge. You're asking the questions, our superstars are giving their answers. Look out! Let's start with the winning captain of the 08 World Cup, Nathan Kalis. From Bonnie at Glenhaven, do you actually think Nathan Hindmarsh is funny on TV or not?
I hate to say it, but and he probably gets legged up quite a fair bit by Fletch, and I reckon Fletch gives him a lot of his work. But I love it when they do the in-between two indoor plants there. And the last one they did was with Daly, Cherry Evans and Desi Hasler.
Yep.
He's pretty funny, but when you're having a beer with him, he gets really emotional. So he's funny and emotional, and it's a bit of a roller coaster with Nate. And he's a great bloke. You know, our wives are best friends, and our kids are all the same age. They've all grown up together for a long time, and miss them all. Looking forward to getting back to Sydney when we finish our holiday up here in Queensland. But, great guy, Nathan.
That's Q&A with Nathan Kalis. Thanks for joining us, legend.
No worries, mate.
And the captain of possibly, probably the greatest squad ever assembled. I'm talking about the 1982 Invincibles, the thrower, Maxi Krilic. From Ken Collins, he asked the nickname thrower. What's the background? Who named you and why?
No, that comes from a Greek
I don't know his real name, but it's called Peter Peters. He's got some crap of a name that he reckons. Pepperpolis Popolilis or some bloody thing he calls himself. Anyway, Zorba, when there was a bit of the old Croatian guys were rolling some bombs around at one stage in the early 70s, and so he called me the bomb thrower. And that didn't go over very well one night when someone's yelling out bomb thrower to me, and I got picked up by some, this is up the Gold Coast, I got picked up by a security guard. I was with Nick, anyway, I was with some players there, and the bloke walked over and said, "What's this caper, all these bombs, and what are you talking about?" And he said, "That's his nickname." I said, "I dropped it. I dropped this bomb and just left it a thrower." Yeah. But, yeah, it was Zorba gave me that, and I did have before that orange head when I first came, because I have got a round head.
Aussie footy shorts. Footy shorts with pockets. Hear that? Footy shorts with pockets. Get into them, legends. They're the grouse. footy-shorts.com.au. AFS, Aussie footy shorts with pockets. I'm wearing them right now. Nothing else. No shirt, no thongs, no Reggies. Just footy shorts with pockets. You can get your ass into a pair by answering a simple question. Which current NRL player would you like to see bald and why? We put this up on our social media earlier in the week. Best or funniest answer wins. You've just got to answer below on the social media pages, either Instagram or Facebook, and you've got to be following Aussie Footy Shorts to be in with a chance. Aussie footy shorts with fucking pockets. Question, what's the greatest sound in the world? But what's better than cracking a coldie? Cracking half a dozen. This is Six Pack of Superstars, revealing our top six. This is the Rugby League Super Pod, and yes, it is Six Pack time. Different theme this week because we're asking our guest to come up with the six players he didn't or hasn't played with but would have loved to. Tommy Trbojevic sounds easy, but you could probably name hundreds.
Yeah, could name a fair few. There's been some great players over the time, and yeah, it's a tough one to answer.
I've got to ask you, are you the guy that watches and studies old games, picks up tips from former players? I guess what I'm asking is you, are you the ultimate rugby league nerd?
I love rugby league. Wouldn't go that far. Okay. I definitely take tips from old players. I'm not watching too many old games. I'm trying to keep up to date. I'm just watching the current ones, but I do love my rugby league.
Okay. Six players you didn't play with but wished you did. Who have you got?
I'm going to go with Glenn Stewart. Played with Brett, but Glenn was one of Manly's greats. Yep. Would love to play with him. Childhood hero, Andrew Johns.
Yep.
Definitely would have loved to play with him. And also big Danny Badiris fan.
Yes.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, so was I. Loved Danny Badiris.
Next one I'll go with is Des Hasler.
Yes.
Would have been cool to share a few with him so I can just spray him because he's hopeless.
Yeah. Now, where would have you played? Where would have you played Desi? Would have you played him at 9 or 7?
He can't pass, so I don't know. Probably none of them. You've seen old footage. He spirals the ball the wrong way.
Yes, the reverse spiral. Exactly right. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
How many have I? Is that four?
That's four. The Gift, Joey, Danny Badiris, Des Hasler.
Yep. I'll go next. I'll go to New South Wales coach Brad Fittler.
Yeah. Wow, I would have loved to seen you sweeping around on the back of Freddie because there's a guy that he could see what was happening before it actually happened.
Yeah, and last, I played against him and not with him, Jonathan Thurston.
You never played an Australian team with JT?
No, I played. I played with Cam, Billy, and Cooper. But JT did his shoulder the year of the 2017 World Cup. My first year playing, so I didn't get to play with him.
Geez, there might be a salary cap issue in this side because Glenn Stewart, Andrew Johns, Danny Badiris, Des Hasler, Brad Fittler, and Jonathan Thurston are the six players that Tommy Turbo would love to have played with but never got the chance. Thanks for dropping in and being a good sport. Always appreciate it, mate.
No worries. Thank you.
Yep, that's what my missus thinks of me. She doesn't like me, doesn't listen to me. She started wearing pyjamas to bed. No action here. Nothing. If you feel for your old mate and you'd like to put a smile on my face, leave a nice review on a podcast app you're listening on. Give us 5 stars as well. That'd help. Every week, someone wins an unfiltered trucker's cap just by giving us a nice review. Maybe this week it'll be you. This week's winner of the unfiltered cap is Jason Minogue from Werribee. Maybe the son of Jason and Kylie from Neighbours. Who knows? But what I do know is he left a brilliant review on Apple over the weekend, and he's got a cap on its way. And we're done on another episode of Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the only podcast that talks with the legends and not about them. If you're enjoying the content, tell your mates, tell your Uber driver, the bloke at work, even your in-laws, whoever. Spread the word, legends. Everyone's welcome here. Be staunch and help your old mate out. Throw a 5-star rating and review on the app you're listening on. I'm giving out free wristies for that one too. It's time for the weekend. Time to grab a pizza, open a couple of coldies, have a crack on the punt. Don't forget, as always, back Pikey in the last.